control. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts Rob Fanoff and Mark Zielinski as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Jeremy Duvall.
I'm Spencer Ellsworth.
And I'm Mark Zielinski. Welcome to another exciting adventure of Countercharge. I am really excited about this one because we're going to be talking about Kublai Khan 2017. And you're thinking to yourself, Mark, what the heck are you excited about Kublai Khan for? And that's because I'm a big board gamer too. And of course, you know, Kublai Khan is where Garrett's Gaming Geekiness hangs out, my friend Doug Garrett. So I know he stopped running the board game area over there. I haven't talked to him a little while either. So I'm going to, all this San Francisco talk is getting me excited about giving him a call and seeing what he and Sherry are up to. So, but there you go. And we have Jeremy riding shotgun tonight. How are we doing tonight, Jeremy?
Going good. How are you doing, Mark?
Not too bad. So it hasn't been too long. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about your hobby update. So
yeah, there are some updates.
All
very
right.
Exciting.
Well, you I can count on. Me, not so much. So
I forgive you. I'm not gonna be mean to you like Rob, and I'm gonna be loving and supportive.
There you go. Well, I'm loving it. All right. And Jeremy, our special guest tonight is Spencer Ellsworth. How you doing tonight, Spencer?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, I appreciate you coming on because I really want to hear about what you've got planned for going on to Kublai Khan. So I couldn't believe that Kings of War was a Kublai Khan. I got so excited. I couldn't handle it. But I can't wait to hear all about it. But you know what, Spencer? You're new to the Countercharge audience. People don't know you. So why don't we go ahead and why don't you give us a little background on yourself and we'll go from there.
Sure. All right, so my introduction to the hobby was originally, you know, I thought my introduction to the hobby was actually back in the day with Games Workshop's Lord of the Rings strategy battle game. That was something that a friend of mine convinced me to go in on I think it was the Return of the King starter box set, and we'd been playing with the earlier rules, whenever that was, early 2000s. And then I realized that my introduction to miniature wargaming was actually even before that. There's a set of rules out there on the internet called Fighting Plastic. And it's a set of rules that are meant to be used with office supplies and little plastic army men. And I seem to recall at some point in my childhood trying those rules out with trying to convince my sister, who is not a miniature wargamer, to try those rules out. And just trying to put a little bit of, structure around playtime. But yeah, my introduction to miniature wargaming was originally with the Lord of the Rings strategy battle game. And got into it for a few years. And then the one person that I was gaming with kind of moved out of the area. And I phased out of painting and miniature wargaming. Until just a few years ago, when I was randomly sitting around after work one day and thought, you know, it'd be really nice to paint something again. So, of course, all of my paint pots had dried up from a decade of not being used and not being stored properly. But I still had my old Citadel brushes, so I broke those out, picked up some paints at a local shop, discovered that the hobby had changed for the better. There were so many new options. Like the Reaper Bones line was an amazing reintroduction to the hobby for me. So for the longest time, I was just painting and then started playing a little bit of Lord of the Rings, convinced a couple of friends to try out the rules. At that point in time, the only local game store that I knew about was our local Games Workshop store. So playing playing Lord of the Rings was totally fine there, although they kind of looked at us funny, given that at that point they had sort of stopped supporting the rules so much and they didn't have the products on the shelves anymore. And then got the feeling that I kind of wanted to try something a little bit more mass battle, and yet had looked at the rules for Warhammer Fantasy and found them a little bit daunting as somebody who'd never played a mass battle game before and who didn't have the figures for it. So was looking around, and so interestingly enough, I am probably in a minority in that I didn't come into Kings of War from Warhammer Fantasy. I actually came into Kings of War simply wanting a simple yet enjoyable set of mass battle fantasy rules. So came on board with first edition Kings of War, and was actually loved the counts as rules and being able to use my old Lord of the Rings figures for something other than playing Lord of the Rings. I think that was about where things started, and it just kind of snowballed from there, you know, with the Kings of War second edition Kickstarter and the beta rules and testing out those rules as they got hinted at and released, and just trying to convince everyone around me who may or may not have been into miniature wargaming to give them a shot. And at that point, I had just moved to the Bay Area, and don't know how much we want to spoil things for later, but I hadn't yet gotten connected with the Kings of War scene here in the Bay Area. So it was just me and a couple of friends playing on my living room floor with the stuff that we had. So we'll save the Kublai Khan connection for that part of the show. Ever since, it's gotten into more and more Kings of War and branched out a little bit. Shortly after we started dating, I convinced my fiance to give Frostgrave a shot with me, as that was a new rule set that had just come out, and we were looking for something interesting, sort of RPG-esque and yet kind of small skirmish war game. And she'd never played miniature war games before in her life, and now we regularly play Frostgrave. I've gotten her into Kings of War, and expanded a little bit into the sci-fi side of things as well, with the Grim Dark Future set of rules from the One Page Rules team. It's a simplified version of 40K.
Very cool, Spencer. So, she sounds like a keeper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's been coming to our tournaments, which is great.
Fiance has actually played in more tournaments for Kings of War than I have. At this point in time, and I think that that's probably going to continue being the case, you know, with Kublai Khan coming up and then just other tournaments that we're thinking about running for the rest of the year. So but that's okay, because it whatever keeps us in the hobby, you know, it's the I'm not sure if this has been said before, but the couple that games together stays together. Maybe.
Absolutely. Brad and Andrea Schwant are living legends, so.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, do you consider yourself the competitive gamer or the hobby gamer?
Absolutely a hobby gamer. I paint about 10 times more than I game at this point, just because aside from my fiance, like, I'm pretty spread out from the other people that I usually game with. So I have a lot more time to just go into the office and pick up a paintbrush than I do to pick up a game. But I have been known to do solo gaming and play both sides. But there's nothing like actually, you know, sitting down and rolling dice with another person and just having that social aspect of the game.
Oh, fantastic. Well, speaking of paintbrushes and hobby, why don't we slide into hobby update? Jeremy! What you up to? I know you're working on those undead, so what's the update?
Yes. So, in the last After Dark, I finished my horde of zombie trolls. Regular zombies. They are now finished. So, I'm really excited. I run a horde of skeletons and a horde of zombies as kind of like my meaty center in my undead list. So, they're both done now, which is really nice. So now I'm moving on to zombie trolls, but I talked about this a little bit last time. I'm still thinking about what models I want to use. And I'm going back and forth between the Mantic Metal Zombie Trolls, and then there's some nice zombie trolls. They're called Flesh Reapers from Titanforge Miniatures, which are pretty cool. So I'm still kind of deciding between those. I want to use the Mantic ones, but like we've talked about, I just fear large metal models. But, you know, then I keep thinking about, well, maybe I want to have some more werewolves, and I love the Mantic werewolves, and then I want a zombie dragon, and then I want a vampire, and then I want to have all the models. So I'm kind of trying to think about what my next project is. But I think also, too, I got a Mounted Revenant King conversion that I made that I think I'm going to be working on next. So that's kind of my goal next few weeks, is to get the undead done for Kublai Khan and for Bay of Kings.
There you go. So did you take a look at maybe the Dungeon Saga zombie troll? There's only one, but I understand that with a little hot water, you can move him around quite a bit, and you can make him look you know, like he's got some different poses. So
yeah, I put a post on Fanatics about kind of my dilemma between the Mantic Metal Zombie Trolls and then asking for people who have gotten the Titanforge Flesh Reapers. And kind of the feedback I got was the Flesh Reapers are cool, but that resin casting sometimes has issues with some flash and some errors. So I've a couple of people have kind of commented on varying degrees of quality when they have got those. And someone had mentioned the plastic zombie troll from Dungeon Saga. So I've been kind of looking at that. I haven't seen one of those yet in the flesh, but that definitely is an option. And then if I end up going the werewolf route, I'm just not going to take any zombie trolls. I won't have any points for them. Also, that might become a time thing. If I get close up to the wire painting one regiment of werewolves is going to be a lot quicker than painting two regiments of zombie trolls. So we'll see kind of as we get closer to the events how under the wire I am.
Well, I mean, you can always add that unit of two units of zombie trolls later. It's not like you're not painting every Friday night. So
that's true. That's true.
All right. So, Spencer, what do you have up on your hobby table? You've been mentioned that paintbrush several times, so you got to be painting something good.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff on my hobby table. I'm looking over at it right now, and seriously, there's stuff for at least three different game systems over there. Right now, the big priorities are, like Jeremy, painting up stuff for Kublai Khan. Even though I'm running events at Kublai Khan, I have one of my best friends is participating, but he is purely a gamer, does not paint. And so I paint all of his stuff for him. It works out well. He gets painted figures, and I get things to paint. So it's great. So I'm working on finishing up a completely Lord of the Rings themed Kingdoms of Men army for him. That's going to be based on the old Warriors of Minas Tirith figures. You know, running a Gandalf as a wizard. We've got Faramir as the general. That sort of thing. And then my fiance's Forces of Nature army needs to be finished. It's been a work in progress for a while now. And so I'm going to be working on getting that finished up, which is a lot of flocking as I'm going for the more tree-based natural approach. If there's extra time there, we'll see. I might be putting the finishing touches on some elves. So I primarily run Elves in Kings of War, which is an elven list that has gone through about four iterations. And so, you know, every time I get a unit painted up and it's like, oh yeah, I'm really excited to use this unit, then the unit falls off the current iteration of the army list. And so it's like, okay, well, we need to bring additional units on and get those painted up so that we actually have a fully painted army. But yeah, and then other than that, let's see here. Earlier I was working on converting some bolt throwers. Had a bunch of spare parts laying around from some old Warhammer Fantasy High Elf bolt throwers and some Mantic bolt throwers that weren't enough to, on their own, stand as a complete model. And so figured, hey, I've got a whole lot of plastic sprue laying around, you know, and short of melting it down and recasting my own figures, time to start carving up some sprue with a hobby knife and see what I can come up with that looks half decent.
Oh, very cool. Well, it sounds like you got a lot to paint, but you know, if you're ever short, I have got armies. I'll be happy to package
them up.
I
will let you know my soonest availability. A friend of mine I was gaming with this past weekend had seen some work that I did on a Gundam model, actually, that a friend is using as a counts as Riptide for his Tau forces for 40K. And he was saying, when's your earliest opening? I've got a Riptide sitting on my desk that I'd like you to tackle. And I'm like, yeah, you're welcome to give it to me. I make absolutely no promises about delivery time, but I can just promise that it will eventually get done. Eventually could, of course, be, you know, 10 years from now, something like that. No, but it'll get done.
Yeah, 10 years I don't know if I could deal with, but you know, I've got plenty of plastic, so you know, you let me know. Just let me know what you want to paint. I'll see what I can send you.
Yeah, sure.
I myself am preparing for the Lone Wolf GT. Looks like we're gonna have around 90 players, which is very, very exciting. And I have to do nothing because I'm borrowing Rob's ogre army, so I completely appreciate everybody making fun of me for putting the flying hammer on my riding Goblin Bigot. There's a reason why it's there, and I will discuss it in the Lone Wolf wrap-up show because I want to see if I actually pull off my little plan. But I put it on there for a reason, so we'll see what happens.
Sneaky.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's there. I got to see if it works, though, and it was only 5 points. I had an extra 5 points. And I was just absolutely had to do something. So I wasn't going to just go in 5 points short. So
Warbo of Kaba's not doing it for you anymore.
I already put him on somebody. So I did not have the Warbo. And he already has 3 shots. So I didn't have to worry about that. I
got it.
So, yeah, I got him on one of the standard bearers, you know. So,
Well, Mark, you're not anyone in the Kings of War hobby until Jeff Swan makes fun of your army list. So you're now among the elite.
That's right. I think Mark Cox was like, I know they didn't think that I should put that stuff on those guys, but you know, I just couldn't see putting 10 points on. I had an extra 10 points, and everybody else already had an item, and you can't put 2 items on everything, and I can't get a 10-point unit. So I might as well throw them on something. And I just didn't want to put them on the scouts. You know, I have a plan. I'm going to see if it works. So I'll let you guys know what it is after the tournament. So, also I'm still working on my Forces of Nature army. I am still really stuck. I really hate those GW gemstone color paints on the silver background on these guys. I don't know what it is. I just can't, it just doesn't look good to me. I thought it was going to look fantastic. And so I don't know what to do. I am stuck on it. That is my sticking point on those models right now. So I'm concentrating on finishing up Karras, and I'm working on the Stone Priest. So I'm trying to get those wrapped up. And Charlotte, she's mostly done. So I'm working on the characters right now. And then I am going to gear up. I do believe I'm going to be doing another 1,000 points of Forces of Nature for the next CCKOWAWS. That'll be number 5, and that's going to be in July 2017. That should be 2 weeks after the new summer campaign book drops. I was talking to Ronnie and Rob Berman, and nothing yet. It's not done yet, so I got to wait patiently. You know, it's like the ketchup commercial. Anticipation is making me wait. So, it'll get here. They're getting ready to drop the Kickstarter. So I think everything out of Mantic is going to be quiet until that Kickstarter drops for Terrain Crate. And I don't have the drop date, but it's imminent. It's going to be sometime here in April. So check it out. They did do a piece on Beasts of War where they were talking about that. Yeah, did you like the part where Rob pulls out the hammer and starts whacking the pieces?
And starts, you know, trying to say, this stuff won't break. And he's just smashing it. It's great.
I like the best part when he brandishes the hammer and says, check out the Kickstarter. So a big shout out to our friend Rob Berman. So I wanted to let you know, Rob, I did send an email to Ronnie. I have not heard back from him about you coming to Lone Wolf, so I shed a tear. So we will get you over here sometime, my friend, and we'll get you in a tournament. So it'll be fantastic. So maybe I'll get a surprise and Mr. Berman will show up in Texas. So it'd certainly be fun.
So, Mark, what about the gem paints are you not liking?
You know what? It just, they're too shiny, and I don't like the color because, you know, I've got that oak brown. I'm using a lot of the Army Painter paints, but okay. I am using a Reaper paint that's like a mossy green paint that I got talked into using by Ryan, and it looks good, but it like clashes, I think, with the green gem paint, and the red gem paint and the green makes it look like Christmas. And blue, I'm just not digging the blue. I don't like the look. I really thought that it would be cool. I went into it thinking, man, this will be really easy. I'll slap the gem paint over to silver. It'll be awesome. And it's just not working out that way for me. It's just not working out. So, yeah, it's really my big sticking point. I got those guys mostly done. It's just that, you know?
I would recommend, if you want to try something other than the gem paints, try painting the gems like you'd paint lenses. There's a fantastic, one of the like tip of the day on Warhammer TV's YouTube channels is for yellow lenses. And so I've been using that technique. It's super simple, not at all time consuming. Been using their technique for painting lenses on stuff, and it works out surprisingly well for if you've got round gemstones. Now, faceted gemstones is probably a totally different ballgame, but round gemstones at least, you paint them like lenses and it turns out pretty well. And then you don't have to deal with any sort of inherent glossiness in the paint because everything is matte anyway. And so it's just the buildup of lighter colors coupled with the glint of white, the white dot in there that goes in there, that actually gives it the illusion like it's reflecting any sort of light.
Yeah, my problem is they're big chunks like crystals, you know, and it's like the whole back of the greater earth elemental. And so, you know, I've got those gem paints on there and it just looks like garbage. And I it's the high point of the model. It's the focus point of the model. So that's why I'm stuck. I really am stuck. You know what? It's a great idea though, Spencer. I am going to go Duncan surfing and see what I can find. I that's an excellent idea. That's what I'm going to do.
I also haven't ever seen anybody use the gemstone paints on flat surfaces. Like it always seems to be on sort of a rounded surface where you can collect a heavier concentration of the gemstone paint on one rounded edge to kind of give that that shining illusion or that light reflection illusion. So who knows? Maybe edge highlighting is your answer. Lots of edge highlighting.
Ugh, I know when
highlighting.
When Duncan did the tutorial on those gem paints, that's kind of how he was doing, where he would get a dab of it on one edge of the gem and then pull it down to the bottom, so that you would have like that greater concentration of the gem paint on like one section of the gem.
I'm probably maybe asking it to do something it shouldn't be doing. You know, I'm using a screwdriver to fix my brakes. Maybe that's what I'm doing. So I'm going to have to, I got to look for a different technique. So the earth elementals are kind of on hold for right now. So I will figure that out. And, you know, I have never done it before, but I'm thinking about using some flock on the models, you know, on the mossy parts. But I'm having a hard time convincing myself to do that. I've never done it before. I don't know how it's going to look. I do have a very mossy, very powdery kind of green flock that I might use. This stuff's ancient. I don't even know who made it. It's just in a plastic bag I have in one of the boxes. So I definitely have enough of it. So,
and one of Kyle from Mastercrafted Gaming on his Forest Shamblers for his Forces of Nature army, he has like branches with flock and stuff coming off of them. They look really cool. And he has those in a couple of those battle reports. That might be fun to take a look at if you're thinking about that.
Oh, okay. I will definitely check that out. Definitely, definitely. Well, yeah. I mean,
Mark, I actually one other idea, really quick. I am a closet Skaven addict too, and just thought, you know, for those very angular gemstones coming off the back of those elementals, take a look at a tutorial for painting warp stone.
Ooh.
I'm sure Duncan's probably got one up there, and like I feel like they'd be, you know, you'd paint those sorts of gems almost exactly like a lot of the very angular warpstone stuff that GW throws on its Skaven models.
Spencer, that's a winner, because I want them to be green. That is an awesome idea. All right, I will be there Duncan surfing tomorrow. All right, look for an update in this space, folks. I can't wait. I'm really excited, Spencer. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing them now, because most of those Skaven are still unpainted, so I haven't actually had a chance to try these tutorials.
See, you guys can inspire each other.
Yay. There you go. Hey, and I can do it on After Dark, right, Jeremy?
Yeah. Bring all your Skaven stones, your gems, your gold, all the precious. Bring it the precious to After Dark.
There you go. We'll definitely shout that out later on in the show. So, but for right now, while we go ahead and slide into a commercial break, we'll come back on the other side. We're going to talk all about Kublai Khan, and I really can't wait, Spencer. So I got to hear about all the stuff you got going on. I was real excited when I found it, and I can't wait to hear all about it.
Quiet down, boys. I'm trying to listen to Dead Zone, the podcast. Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. My name is Hiroku, and I'm your friendly neighborhood plague lord. Why, yes, I do enjoy listening to Dead Zone the podcast at deadzonegame.podbean.com. Even if it is hosted by two pathetic humans destined to be part of our glorious plague. Was that gunfire? Damned enforcers are always interrupting my podcast time. Don't forget to go to deadzonegame.podbean.com for all your Dead Zone listening pleasure. Now, to destroy these damnable enforcers.
And welcome back. All right, Spencer. This is it, the big build-up. I don't know if I can build it up anymore. Kublai Khan 2017. If folks are not familiar with Kublai Khan, why don't you start off and just tell us a little bit, what the heck is Kublai Khan?
Sure. So Kublai Khan is self-advertised as the West Coast's largest gaming convention, and I'm shamelessly stealing this off their website because they describe it best. It's 72 straight hours of nonstop gaming. But in order to have nonstop gaming, you gotta have people there. So go to Kublai Khan. I'm just gonna deliver that pitch up front, and then tell you why. So Kublai Khan is over Memorial Day weekend. It takes place at the Hyatt Regency, near the San Francisco airport, officially in Burlingame, California, I think. And it's everything from tabletop wargaming to historicals, to painting classes, live-action role-play, role-playing games. There's pretty much a constant stream of Pathfinder Society and the D&D equivalent going on. There's an entire board game library that you can check out hundreds of games for free and play. And they've got a great system for it, too, that in their open gaming hall, if you're looking for people to join your game, you take an orange flag and you clip it onto the table next to where you're playing, and it signifies that anybody who wants to just join an open game can come and sit down and hang out and play some board games. Additionally, they've got board game tournaments, things for Settlers of Catan, Dominion, and so forth. And there's always a lot of, their big lobby areas where they do a lot of showcasing. So there will be game demonstrations for board games, miniature games, role-playing games. So even if you've never played any of these things or you want to try a new game, Kublai Khan is the place to go because you can pretty much find a demonstration for just about anything. Additionally, they love doing giant versions of games. So I believe last year there was a giant game, a version of Kings of Tokyo, taking place. There was also a giant, wooden soldier, sort of a regimental army type game with soldiers that were 6 or 8 inches high. And then there was also, and this was right before the Kickstarter, I believe, there was a giant version of TAC, the new abstract strategy game from Patrick Rothfuss, rather, and James Ernest over at Cheap Ass Games. So, yeah, loads of awesome stuff. There's painting competitions, speed painting competitions, painting classes, just free paint and take areas where they provide the paints, they provide the brushes, they provide the figures, and you can just come and sit down for 5 minutes or sit down for 3 hours and paint a figure, whether you have never touched a paintbrush in your life before or whether you've been painting for 30 years. It's totally open. Highly recommend, if you're going to go, just get the weekend pass. You won't regret it because there's so much going on that you will want to come back for additional days.
Well, it sounds like the origins of the West.
Yeah. One of my favorite KubleCon memories was after having an adult beverage or two, I was walking into the lobby and I walked into the middle of a live action role play of Alien vs. Predator. And people were in full costumes, and it was a very interesting experience, to say the least. But they have a lot of cool, extravagant stuff going on, for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't even mention, I mean, of course, the vendor hall is massive. Companies from all over the place, including a bunch of local companies that give us our gaming fix of Plastic Crack. So definitely vendor hall, flea market. The flea market is a fantastic place. I thoroughly enjoy going and buying even more miniatures because it's like, oh, that'd make a great Kings of War army. Look at those. That's definitely not happened the past couple of years. They also have a fantastic program for volunteers too. So if you're interested in helping out with the convention, you can volunteer a certain number of hours, either volunteering to help run booths, for example, the prize booth, run events, that sort of thing, or volunteer your time as a game master and actually running game demos or running tournaments, that sort of thing. And based on the amount of hours that you contribute, they will comp part or all of your admission to the weekend because of you contributing that time. They also have a special area for young players. So if you are an adult gamer with little kids, bring your little kids. There's a entire young players room that's thoroughly staffed and supervised. So you can drop your kids off there and they'll be having fun playing games while you're off having fun playing games. There's a program not just for young players, but especially geared toward them, where you can earn KubleCon dollars for participating in games, participating in events, and so forth, and spend those at a special prize booth that the prizes can only be acquired with those KubleCon dollars. They can't be purchased, and they always get massive donations from all of the vendors in the vendor hall toward that prize booth. So there's some really good stuff that just by participating, you can pick up those KubleCon dollars and get stuff for free just for having fun.
Oh, that just really sounds awesome. I have always wanted to go to KubleCon, so.
Yeah, they make a really good use of their space. The hotel where they hold it is really nice. And often, sometimes they have bleed out as far as they have will have hotel rooms where they hold events. And I did one RPG session that started in one of the conference areas. But depending on where the party went, you actually got up and went to a different hotel room. And then there'd be a game master in that room. And if it was like you went to the inn, they would have some like costumes and stuff to make that room feel like an inn. So, and there's a really nice bar area there. I've gone to KubleCon with buddies and we just go into the bar area and grab a table and start playing games. You know, people are playing games everywhere in the hotel. So it's a really nice inclusive feel.
there's also a couple of groups that have done prototype game testing there too. And so they'll run prototype sessions for their new games, you know, games that they are trying to launch on Kickstarter or publish independently, that sort of thing. And they always have a huge turnout for those. There was one that I attended last year that was a successfully backed Kickstarter project a month later. And I'm sure that they got great feedback just from having a very open and willing player base there who to test out their game, probably more feedback than they could even realistically use. So.
Oh, fantastic. So now, how did you go about getting Kings of War type events into KubleCon?
Yeah, so this is the podcast gold that you mentioned earlier. So the first year that I went to KubleCon was shortly after I had gotten into Kings of War, and I went to KubleCon never having been before, and not actually anticipating to play any games there. I just thought it was an awesome event. I wanted to experience it, and as I've found with other events, part of the experience sometimes is getting to see the behind the scenes stuff. So I decided, well, hey, I'll just volunteer to help run some events or volunteer, you know, run the ticket counter, that sort of thing, in order to get my admission and just see what KubleCon's all about before I really throw in a gaming commitment to it. And so the first year that I was there, I think I spent approximately 8 hours running the prize booth, which was exhausting but rewarding, getting to quote-unquote sell prizes to little kids, great games, and other swag for in exchange for their KubleCon dollars. And I noticed that there weren't any Kings of War events on the calendar that year, I think. And so the next year when I went back, I thought, well, hey, I've never run a Kings of War event before, but how hard can this realistically be? Famous last words of every tournament organizer ever. And so I ran two demo sessions, just a couple hour demo sessions where I had very simple 500 point forces that I would one-on-one teach somebody how to play Kings of War. And then I also ran a six-person tournament, just simple 2,000 points, very loose, using Mantic's organized play rules. And the demonstrations I didn't entirely realize ahead of time were going to actually be taking place in the lobby, like right in front of the ticket counter where people were registering. And so we got a lot of attendance. Surprisingly, I got a lot of people coming up to me and saying, oh, you're demoing Kings of War. I just recently picked up the rule book, or I'm coming over to the system from Warhammer Fantasy, and it's great to see that there's somebody here representing Kings of War. So that was really exciting to me, because it was at that point that I hadn't yet gotten connected with the Bay Area Kings of War community. And so the only people that I actually knew that were playing Kings of War were the couple of friends that I had that I'd introduced it to. So that was fantastic. And actually running those demos was what initially got me connected with a number of the people in the community. Subsequently, a lot of the folks that I game with now were people that I met at KubleCon because I was standing in the middle of the lobby demoing this miniature war game. And I think at the time there weren't a lot of other miniature war games being demoed in the area. It was a lot of board games, or like I said, they're giant board games or exhibits, that sort of thing. So so that was the initial start, and the tournament went really well. At least I thought it went pretty well for a first time tournament. A couple of the people that played were actually people who didn't know about the tournament ahead of time, but they came and were walking past the demo station on when I was demoing the game on Friday, and I told them about the tournament on Saturday, and they were like, yeah, we'll show up. We just started playing Kings of War. They showed up to the tournament. We had a great turnout of six people for the tournament. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was what then prompted me to subsequently kind of go all in on Kings of War for Kubla Khan this year, just with the feeling that, you know, Kings of War has a pretty established presence here in the Bay Area. There's a lot of people that are playing. There's a lot of people that we can get to be playing who aren't currently, but we really wanted to have more events for Kubla Khan this year, and hopefully in years to come as well.
Fantastic. So, Jeremy, did you run into Spencer? Were you one of those players?
Not this last year, but a buddy of mine took his little son to Kubla Khan, and he said he saw, and we had just started playing Kings of War up in Sacramento, which is about 2 hours away from Bay Area before I moved back here. And he said that they had Kings of War at Kubla Khan, which I was totally excited to see. So, and this year will be my first, not my first Kubla Khan, but my first Kubla Khan and Kings of War, which are two of my favorite things that are now being brought together.
Two great tastes that taste great together, huh?
Exactly.
All right, Spencer, this is the part I really wanted to know. So what events are you going to be running at Kubla Khan?
All right, so this year, like I said, I decided that I was just going to go all in. Thankfully, I have a couple of assistant GMs who are going to be helping me out so that I don't go completely insane or keel over from sleep deprivation. But we are running 5 Kings of War events at Kubla Khan this year. And events not just for people who have been playing Kubla Khan, or sorry, been playing Kings of War for a really long time. These are events for people of all skill levels, including one event that's not going to be run by me, but rather is going to be run by a fellow gamer to Jeremy and I, Chris Ofinger. He's going to be running a Kings of War school. And so I want to give a plug for that first off, because if people are new to Kings of War, whether they have gotten a game in, whether they've never even touched the rule book, this is the place to go. So first of all, Chris's Kings of War school. This is going to be on Saturday night at 6 p.m. And he's going to have a bunch of tables laid out and just wants to do an introduction and get people playing. He's going to bring armies. And so no figures needed. Just come and show up. He'll teach you how to play. I think he's using 1,000-point games for that. And it'll be a lot of fun. I know that he ran this last year as well and brought in a number of new players. So I'm really excited that he's been willing to take that up again this year as the schedule that I was planning on for tournaments and other events unfortunately wasn't going to allow me to run demo games. So Kings of War School, Saturday night, 6 p.m. The actual Kings of War events, this year we're running 2 tournaments and 2 fun events. So Saturday morning, 10 a.m., we've got a 2,000-point Kings of War fantasy. I have to clarify that. Kings of War fantasy tournament. It's going to, at this point, we're saying 6 people because we had 6 people last year. But if there's more than 6 people and... if there are more than 6 people that even express interest, then I'll talk to the event organizers about actually getting us even more tables. So if you have, just as an aside before I forget about this, if you have any sort of an interest in playing in a Kubla Khan Kings of War event, there's a Facebook event that has been created for it that you can just go and say, hey, I'm interested, and that way I can get at least a vague head count of the people who are interested. And Mark, I'll send you the link to that so you can disperse it. But yeah, so Saturday morning, starting off bright and early, 10 a.m., we're going to have a 2,000-point three-game tournament. That'll be great. As far as I know, it's just going to be standard organized play rules. There aren't going to be any crazy restrictions or anything. It is going to use the new Clash of Kings 2017 rules because they are out, but there's no restrictions on Living Legends or anything like that. You're also more than willing to bring your historical armies to the fantasy tournament. If you do bring a historical army, you can take mythical creatures. That's totally cool. That'd be pretty awesome. I would love to see, you know, some Greeks go up against some goblins or something like that. That'd be pretty fantastic. It is going to be timed games. We are going to use chess clocks. I think enough of us have them on our phones or actual chess clocks. And it just helps to control the time because it is a shared space and we don't exclusively have the tables past the end time of our event. We have to stick within the bounds of what the event organizers have given us. And so they are going to be timed games. It is going to be a little bit aggressive, but we ran with these times last year, and it worked out pretty well. So that's Saturday morning. Then Saturday evening, so once you've gotten the tournament out of your system and all that competitiveness, Saturday evening is going to be Kings of War nighttime fight time. This is a totally new thing that I've never seen done with Kings of War before. Regardless of whether it's a complete mess or goes absolutely smoothly, it should be fun at the very least. So I'm saying 8 people. If we have more than 8 people show up, fantastic. We'll throw them all on the same table. At this point, we're looking at playing it on something like a 15-by-8 foot table. And just having people deploy all around the table and just kind of go at it. There may be some objectives that are in there, and possibly also some prize support for the person who comes out on top. Even if it happens to be that after the slaughter ends, they only have one unit left or something like that. So that's Saturday night, starting at 6 p.m. And nighttime fight time. Sunday morning, I wanted to, because of a personal interest, since the book came out, I wanted to throw in a historical event for those people who have historical armies, who aren't necessarily into the fantasy scene as much, or the people who are who love Kings of War and happen to have a historical army sitting around and need an excuse to actually try out the rules. So Sunday morning, 10 a.m., very similar to the fantasy tournament, we're going to have a historical tournament. So the only armies that'll be allowed are going to be from the historical army supplement, 2,000 point armies. Living legends are allowed. Mythical creatures are not allowed. We want to keep this more along the historical vein. Otherwise, same deal in terms of it'll be timed games. We'll have 3 games. At this point, I'm anticipating it probably being a 6-person event. But if it gets bigger than that, like I said, mention your interest on the Facebook events so that I know ahead of time and can request additional table space. We'd hate to turn people away simply because we only had a certain number of tables that were allotted to us. And the miniature wargaming halls at KublaCon are always packed. I know that last year we had our 3 tables were in between an X-Wing tournament and a classic Battletech tournament that was going on. And so there's always people gaming. Then Sunday night, we're going to have another fun event. This one's going to be less of a tournament, but a little bit more competitive. It's going to be a 3-versus-3 Kings of War game. Likely it will have a custom scenario in it, probably something objective-based just to kind of even things out. The sides in terms of who's part of which team of 3 are going to be decided by criteria that has yet to be determined. That will probably have something to do with the scenario, though. And it should be fun. And so with this, it's bring your mythical creatures with your historical armies, bring all of your living legends, bring whatever. It's a 2,000-point list, and it should be a good time. And yeah, I think that's all of them. So that Kings of War Take Sides, which is the 3v3 game, that's Sunday at 6 p.m. Sunday at 10 a.m. is the historical tournament. Saturday at 6 p.m. is the 8 or more person free-for-all, nighttime fight time. And Saturday morning at 10 a.m. is our Kings of War fantasy tournament. And then just a reminder that the Saturday night at 6 p.m. is Chris Ofinger's Kings of War School. Chris is a great and pretty experienced player. So even if you're looking to hone your skills or just talk Kings of War strategy with someone, I'm sure that he would be more than willing to do that.
There you go. So that's running the same time as Fight Night?
It is. So okay. We figured that there's going to be a pretty different audience. And he's going to be plugging us and we're going to be plugging him. So if there are people who show up and they're watching this crazy mass battle thing going on and they're like, what are you guys playing? Then we can direct them over to Chris and he'll teach them how to play. And likewise, if there are people who are learning how to play and he's like, hey, check out this cool thing that's going on. Hopefully cool. The eight or more people all going at it with crazy mass battle. I mean, this is what Kings of War is about. Kings of War is a mass battle system. And so I want to see just how massive and how fun and crazy it can be.
Oh, yeah. The big games are a lot of fun. Is anyone going to be running demos like you mentioned in the main hallway before? Or anybody get lucky enough to do that? Or
yeah, so hopefully next year we'll get a Friday demo back on the schedule, as that's a really ideal time for people who are just coming to check out the con.
So the con runs Monday. It wraps up Monday, right? So it runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
It does. So it starts at 1 p.m. on Friday and goes until 5 p.m. on Monday. They do advertise it as 72 straight hours of gaming, and so while I haven't in the past, this may be the year where we test out, at least some of the limits of that 72 straight hours with some of these events going for quite some time. I don't know of a lot of events that go into the night except for some of the live-action role-play events, but our Kings of War nighttime fight time, the eight or more person free-for-all on Saturday night, is slated to probably go until 2 a.m. And based on how many people we get into it, it could go beyond that. But we got to give some people the chance to rest up in time for the historical tournament on Sunday morning.
Absolutely. Maybe done at midnight because Kings of War plays fast, so which is cool.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great time. I'm going to have to, I've always wanted to go to KublaCon, so I'm definitely going to have to check out Frontiers flying out there. So we'll see. It'd be very cool if I could pull that off. But I know Rob would be depressed that I didn't go to Memphis, but flying to Memphis is expensive for me. So if I come out, I probably wouldn't be playing in the tournaments, though, because I'll probably have my daughter or the family with me. So, but it'd be very interesting. So, Jeremy, you're playing in the tournament. Which ones are you playing in?
Yeah, so I plan on getting a room. I'm going to get a room at the hotel and bring my models with me. And I'm going to play, I think I want to try to play in both the fantasy and the historical. I'm going to borrow Brinton's Romans. That guy has every model known to the world painted. So he has an army of Romans that I think I'm going to take for the historical, and then I'll play my undead in the fantasy, and then sign up for all the mega battles. So it's going to be a full docket weekend of Kings of War for me.
Oh, see, that's the great thing about the big conventions, and they run those shorter tournaments. You know, you can get in a whole bunch of different stuff, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
One note on the tournaments, in case anybody needs any inspiration for painting. While we don't have specific painting scores as part of the tournament score, it will be the case that if you show up with a fully painted army, fantastic. We totally support that, and you'll be starting off with a couple extra tournament points that could help affect your final score. And maybe give you that edge over somebody else who doesn't have a fully painted army. So paint your armies, three color minimum. I know that three color minimum is sometimes abused, but have fun with it. You know, at least get some paint and some shade down on them, and bring it. As we all know, painted figures fight better.
I know that Jeremy's going to be bringing a nicely painted army, so.
Oh, absolutely. Jeremy's Undead are awesome. In terms of signing up for it, so a lot of the way that Kublai Khan runs its miniature gaming events is that you show up to Kublai Khan and there will be a notebook with a sign-up sheet in it. And so it's a, to some degree, it's a first-come, first-served. You got to put your name down for it. And that was how our events were run last year, and I think that's how they're going to go this year as well. Like I said, with some of these events, there's a little bit more flexibility. So, for example, like I mentioned, the free-for-all battle. If we have more than eight people that are interested, I'm totally willing to throw them onto the table and let's see what happens. But the actual signing up for the event is done there on site.
Oh, so you don't buy tickets on the website or anything to guarantee your spot then?
No, no. So the actual tournaments and everything, totally free. The prize support is going to come from either the it's certainly going to, at least for the tournaments, it's going to come from Kublai Khan itself, in that they provide the Kublai Khan dollars that that we can dole out to winners. And then there's possible, I'm talking with somebody about getting some actual miniature prize support as well for some of our Kublai Khan events, which I won't reveal anything, but Jeremy, they would look amazing in your Undead army.
Sounds good to me.
He sounds excited. So, well, that's really cool. So they really, really hit you up on the Facebook or, you know, contact you to make sure, you know, if somebody's coming in, to make sure that there's enough space and that they, you know, they can come and play with you.
Yeah, definitely. So at this point, too, because Kublai Khan's a month out, so I don't know if I ever mentioned the dates. It's Memorial Day weekend, May 26th through 29th. At this point, because it's a month out, I ideally, if you're listening to this and you think that you'd like to participate in the Kublai Khan event, either in any of the Kublai Khan events actually that pertain to Kings of War, those are the only ones that I'm personally running. Either reach out to me via the Facebook page for Kublai Khan Kings of War, I think is what it's called. I'll give you the link for that, Mark. Or you can just contact me via Twitter and I'll add you into the headcount of us potentially needing more tables.
So what's that Twitter handle?
So that Twitter handle, and this is a relatively new Twitter handle, and I was shocked that it wasn't taken, is at ithinmypaints.
That's shocking that's available.
Right. Like Duncan Rhodes, why didn't you take this Twitter handle? I thin my paints on Twitter. It's my personal Twitter paint blog, I guess you could say, or paint log. It's not so much a log. I try to only put stuff that's has, you know, a decent amount of work done on it on there. Reach out to me via there or on the Facebook event for Kublai Khan Kings of War.
All right, fantastic. Anything else we need to talk about Kublai Khan?
Show up.
Kublai Khan's going
to... just want to hang out and watch the games, there's a couple people who are now part of our regular Bay Area Kings of War group who last year just came to the tournament and just watched the whole time. They were relatively new to Kings of War, and now they're ecstatic to be able to play in the tournament. They feel like they've got a really good grasp on the game, and we're super excited to have them. So you're welcome to, even if you aren't playing in any of the events, you're welcome to come and hang out, just talk Kings of War, check out the armies, laugh and or cry at the double ones that are rolled, that sort of thing. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah, and I just want to say thanks to Spencer. You know, he's one of the key guys in this effort we have in California, and especially in Northern California, of really trying to build the Kings of War scene and then to take all these little sub-part groups around that are playing Kings of War and get them communicating with each other. So I'm really excited. And this is such a great opportunity. If you're curious about Kings of War or you just want to check it out, you can come take a look, and then you'll also be there for Kublai Khan, which is a great convention for all your other gaming interests. So it's a really good opportunity to come check it out.
All right, well, that's it. Very exciting. KublaCon. Boy, I would love to pull it off somehow. I'm going to have to talk to my wife. So, but all right, why don't we go ahead and slide into a commercial break? We'll come back on the other side. We'll do some shout-outs, do a little, other miscellaneous stuff kind of covered up, and we'll wrap up the show. So we'll check you out in a few moments.
Howdy, this is Mark Cox.
And this is Jeff Swan.
And this is Ryan Smith, and we are the Beer Phase Podcast.
We're three TOs from Texas, and we talk about the most important phase in Kings of War, as well as other games we play, the Beer Phase.
Hang out with us and get our thoughts on hobby, the best beer available, any gaming tactics and current events in the gaming community, as well as guest interviews from people from all over the world that have the same hobbies we do.
So grab a beer and have a laugh with us as we BS about all things wargaming. Check us out on Twitter at The Beer Phase and TheBeerPhase.podbean.com or on iTunes. The Beer Phase, one word.
I'm Josh Fletcher, the reigning Masters champion, and you're listening to Countercharge.
And welcome back. All right. Well, boy, that was a lot of KublaCon action. I'm a little worn out. So, Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and start out our shout-outs, because I know what you're shouting out.
Yes, I hope everyone will come in and join us for Countercharge After Dark, our Friday night painting Google hobby hangout. For all information, Countercharge After Dark, check out the Twitter at CCKOWAWS, or you can email us at CCKOWAWS@gmail.com. And After Dark is a great opportunity to come in and paint your models, talk about events, talk about strategies, anything hobby related. Doesn't always have to be Kings of War, whatever you want, come on in. And that starts Fridays at around 6 Pacific time.
That's right. And After Dark is a great time to start working on getting your armies built and assembled for Army in a Weekend that's going to be coming up in July. So you don't have to necessarily be painting. It doesn't always have to be Mantic. There's lots of different stuff going on. So we encourage everybody to just come on in, jump on the feed, drop in and out as you want. Ryan's usually there for the late shift, Ryan Smith from the Beer Phase podcast. So it's a nice little community. It's starting to build. I am working on a couple of guest painters to stop by. I will try to get those announcements done. Since they're going to be last minute, they're going to probably go off on Twitter. So, at CounterCharge15 or at CCKOWAWS, and you can check those out. So very exciting. We're really happy to have that going on right now, and I know I'm going to be working on some assembly myself. So I got an order in for my Forces of Nature army, so as soon as that gets here, my Trident Realms army. I got working out with Joe Neat and Mr. Berman to get those over here, and that will be fantastic. So, and a shout out to remember, if you would like to pick up a Mantic starter army from the Mantic website with a 10% discount, just put in the coupon code COUNTERCHARGE10, and that's COUNTERCHARGE all one word and all in capital letters. One of the cool things that does is the free shipping to the U.S. is at the $85 mark. And, of course, it's $84.99 for a starter army. So you get your 10% off, save yourself $8-some-odd bucks, and just go ahead and pick up a champion or something like that, a hero, a mythican, whatever. I'm picking up a Thule mythican to toss in there. And so you get a... that'll get you up over the free shipping. So you get free shipping, you get the discount, and you can pick up a hero or something else. So it's a good deal. So if you get a chance, I'm always support your local store. If you don't have one, go ahead and check it out and start assembling. So Spencer, what you got going on, my friend?
What are the dates for the Army in a Weekend in July?
We do not know. It will be 2 weeks after the summer campaign book drops. So we are waiting on the final version to come out. As soon as we get the final version of the PDF done, We'll get a hold of Rob Berman and we'll record an episode and we'll get all the dates, times, everything will be laid out for you at that time. So Mantic's supposed to be running some, contests again for us this time. And it's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think After Dark is going to be, you know, there to help propel CCKOW AWS number 5 in July.
Yeah. And that's really one of like After Dark's like core missions, is to kind of keep the hype machine rolling and allow a place for people to get all their multi-basing done, their stuff primed, filed, or whatever. So when we have the big Army in a Weekend spectaculars, you are all ready to go.
Well, for those of you in the Bay Area, cross your fingers that Army in a Weekend happens the weekend before July 15 and 16. Shout out to the Bay of Kings grand tournament that's happening here in the Bay Area July 15 and 16. Some great guys from our local group are organizing that. If everything works out, then that Army in a Weekend will give me the opportunity that I need to finish up my Army for Bay of Kings. It is going to be a U.S. Masters qualifying tournament. So for more information on that, I believe there's going to be a Bay of Kings website, or check out Bay of Kings Kings of War on Facebook.
There you go. Yeah, we're going to bring the guys on and record an episode with them, so you get the full lowdown on the Bay of Kings GT, which will be fantastic. And I'm looking forward to it. I know there's been a lot of chatter about California, not using mercenaries in the upcoming Masters. So
nope,
we're,
not gonna
a lot
happen.
Of excitement.
No more. Not going to happen again. We're getting ready to come bring some West Coast, show those Texas boys what's going on.
They will appreciate it too. That will be absolutely fantastic. And you know, I think the mercenaries were great. I think it really got everybody fired up. You know, I mean, if your team didn't fill out, you know, it really, the pride came out in all the regions. And yeah. I really thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have some really good players in California and we got some really solid players in the Bay Area. So I know I'll be excited to see a West Coast team come together that can do us proud.
Oh, that's fantastic. Spencer, you got any other shout-outs there?
Just a quick shout-out to KubaCon. Fantastic event. The people organizing it are wonderful. It's May 26th through 29 at the Hyatt Regency SFO. Hope to see you there. Quick shout-out to Nick Williams. Come on, where are our Twilight Kin rules? I've got a Blood Rack shrine that I would love to actually assemble and paint up, but I need some rules for it here, so... Let's get those Twilight Kin on the table more.
Absolutely. I've got a 1,000-point Twilight Kin army that I used at Ocon. I think that was Ocon 2015. So I would certainly love to get them back onto the table. I was also a big Dark Elf player back in the Warhammer days, so I have a very nicely painted Dark Elf army, but I am not tearing it apart and rebasing it until I have rules and I know what the heck I'm doing. So
yeah.
I'm not even going to touch it until then. So it's sitting very nicely in a box. There's no dust. It's just sitting there, chilling out, just waiting for the final rules to come out. So very exciting.
Yeah, and that list is good as it is right now. So I'm like Spencer, I'm really excited to see kind of what way they go with it.
Well, the problem is if it's good right now, it won't be when the final rules come out, so to speak. So that's what I'm anticipating. So, but we will definitely see how that goes. So I'm going to give a shout out to the inaugural Mountaineer GT that's going to be held on June 23rd to the 25th, 2017, in Martinsburg, West Virginia, at the Comfort Inn at the Aiken Center. This is the first GT of the year for the Mid-Atlantic region for the U.S. Masters. And they had the same problem you guys did. So they're really bringing it too. So, which is fantastic to see the scenes coming together. So you can get the information by emailing trollhordewv@gmail.com. Link is definitely in the show notes. You can also find them on Facebook and check them out there. So, but that's going to be exciting. Jake Hutton is, I understand, going to be going to the inaugural Mountaineer GT. So that is fantastic. And also I wanted to make mention that the Blue City Brawl that is scheduled for June 24th to the 25th, that is Rob's doubles tournament at the Rad House, has sold out, so which is fantastic. They don't have the ability to add more tables from what I understand, so they're not going to be able to expand that, but I'm very, very excited about that. And last shout I'm going to have is for Convic. That is going to be on July 8th through the 9th, 2017, at the Burton Park Bulls Club in Springvale, Melbourne, Australia. You can get some more information at the link in the show notes, and I am going to be bringing the guys on from Convic, and we can hear all about what is going on down under in the tournament scene for Kings of War. So I'm very, very excited about that. So stay tuned. So probably that episode will probably drop mid-May. So if you're planning your trip to Australia to stop by to play Kings of War, we will have a place for you to go. So very exciting. Guys, it has been an absolute pleasure for having you here with us tonight, joining us. And Spencer, how can people find you out there in the world? I know we mentioned it again, but why don't we do it one more time?
Yep, so the best way to contact me is via Twitter. At the Twitter handle is iThinMyPaints, all one word. Please reach out to me if you've got any questions about KublaCon or the Bay Area scene. Or if you just like to chat Kings of War.
Fantastic. And Jeremy, go ahead, plug After Dark again.
Yes, you can find about all things After Dark at CCKOWAWS. And that's After Dark, the only choice in late night hobby hangouts. You can follow me on my personal Twitter, which is at Real Malevolus. Feel free to come by. I always paint pictures of battle reports with Brenton after he beats me every time. So those are always really interesting. You can check me out on another podcast called At Reckless Dice. That's a more of a tabletop podcast for all things, not just miniature wargaming, but also tabletop games.
And then Rough Riders.
Yeah, and then if you want some good YouTube battle reports for Kings of War, and you've checked out your Mastercrafted, you've checked out your Jerry Ultimate Power Gamer, and you want to see some coming out of the West Coast, check out Rough Rider Wargaming channel on YouTube. Kings of War content comes out every other Friday, so bi-weekly.
There you go. It's so nice to see all this stuff coming out for Kings of War. It's fantastic. I'm loving it.
So it really is.
Again, guys, thanks for joining us. And folks, until next time, keep counter charging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.